we all have them, don't we? We all have embarrassing stories that our family likes to tell about us anytime that we go home or gather in groups or anytime they would like to, you know, embarrass us. And one of those memories came to mind recently this week as I'm anticipating going home here in a couple weeks for a wedding. And this story just comes up every now and then, and I thought I'd share it with you this morning because it applies very well to this sermon today. You see, when I was just a little boy, there was this nice summer day when my family was outside. I believe we were probably having some kind of a cookout. And there we had, you know, my two brothers, my parents, and two of my grandparents. And well, I was a bit of an adventurous boy, and I decided to wander off by myself that day. So I went down to the barnyard just to see what other kind of fun I could find. As I wandered into the barn, I was met there by the angry old billy goat. Now, this billy goat was a bit of a territorial kind of animal, and anytime my father would walk by, he would kind of butt at it, trying to encourage my father to move along. But I found out that day that this billy goat didn't like little boys anymore either. He decided that he was going to chase me out of the barn. So this billy goat is, actually he's probably small compared to me now, but at that time he seemed pretty big and pretty scary. And he dropped his head and pointed his horns towards me and just started chasing me. And I remember, just as clear as it was yesterday, running as fast as my little legs could carry me and just pumping my arms as hard as I could and just screaming out for my dad. Dad tells this story, and he has to do it every time. He says he still remembers Kevin yelling out, "Dad!" He does it just like that every time he tells this story. But you see, it's kind of embarrassing now because everybody was out there. Everybody looked when I yelled. They saw me running. They saw me running as hard as I could with urgency and fervor to get away from this billy goat. Because I knew this billy goat wanted to harm me. He wanted to show me who was boss, and I wasn't about to stay around to find out who it was. I would take his word for it. He was the boss. So I decided to run with everything that I could find within myself, to run towards comfort and protection in the arms of my father. Well, today we're going to be looking at how, if we are to ever escape the power of sin, if we are to escape the power and the wrath of sin, we need to run, just like that little boy ran away from that goat. And we need to run towards something, just like I ran towards the loving and comforting arms of my father. We will find that if we really want to escape the power of sin, we must run to the arms of our heavenly Father. We need to be like that boy trying to run away from the wrath of the goat, as we run away from the wrath of sin and run towards the arms of our loving Father. So if you have your Bibles with you today, feel free to follow along with me as I read from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 19. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Scripture begins, "But as for you, men of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and for which you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame, until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time, who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in this present age are rich, command them not to be haughty, or to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but rather on God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life." Now, if you look at your bulletins for today, the front cover says on it, "Pursue righteousness, holiness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And this is going to be the main focus of our scripture, of our sermon for this morning. It comes from verse 11, where Paul writes to Timothy. He writes to Timothy, "But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." You see, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy as a word of encouragement, as a way of setting goals for Timothy to continue to strive towards. Now, as we look at this, we realize that this letter was written specifically towards Timothy. And God, or in Paul, calls Timothy a man of God. He looks at Timothy and he recognizes some kind of characteristic that's particular to this person. He recognizes in Timothy that he is a follower of God, that he is a child of God, and he has recognized him as a man of God. Now, as I look out on this congregation here today, I like to think that we are all children of God. But I'd say about half of us are not men of God, are we? There's also plenty of women of God here in the audience today. So if you look at the bottom on the inside of your bulletin, I've written out this verse, chapter 6, verse 11, in more gender-inclusive language. Because I want you to be able to apply this to your own life. Because not all of us are men of God, but we are all to be called to be followers of God. So I've written it out here, "But as for you, followers of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." So this is going to be our main focus here today, for us all, men and women, to learn what it means to shun all of this and pursue these ways that God has called us to. But what does it mean when he says to shun all of this? What is the all of this? And what does it mean to pursue these things as well? What is he calling us to pursue? Well, I looked up the word pursue, and the word pursue has many different definitions. We have many different ones that we could choose from this morning. But I thought the one that seemed most appropriate for us is to strive to gain, to seek to attain or accomplish. This is what Paul is telling Timothy to do. He's saying you must strive to accomplish these things. He is setting these goals for him, and he's telling Timothy to work towards them, to run towards them, like a runner in a race. Now, if we look at these goals, they seem like pretty lofty goals, don't they? It's easier said than done to achieve something like righteousness or godliness. If you look at the word righteousness, that means to be without blame or without sin. Paul also says in Romans 3:10 that there is no one righteous, not one. But yet he charges Timothy to pursue righteousness. And what about this word godliness? To be godly means to be like God. Is there anybody here that would claim to be like God? Have you ever met someone who is like God? Well, maybe we've met people that have more godly characteristics. There may be portions of their life that resemble God, but I have never met somebody who is like God. There was one person who lived that was like God because he was God. He lived about 2,000 years ago. He was killed on the cross. So when Paul tells Timothy to pursue righteousness and to pursue godliness, it sounds like he's setting unreachable goals. But the word pursuit is the important word here. He's not saying you must obtain these things. He's not saying you must obtain perfection and obtain godliness. He's saying pursue them. Chase after them. That's what the word pursue means. He's not saying you must achieve them to be successful, but not to give up, but to continue to strive to reach that goal, to continue to strive to reach righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. These are lofty goals, ones that we may not be able to actually reach, but strive towards them. So this is why Paul instructs Timothy to pursue these things, to chase after them as if he was a runner in a race. But as we try to pursue something like this, it's helpful also to remember that we cannot run in two directions at one time. We must choose which way we are to run. I cannot run to my left while simultaneously running to my right. Just like we cannot run towards God while we simultaneously run towards sin. If we wish to run towards God, we must choose also to run away from sin. And we have to run away from sin with the same kind of urgency that we have when we're being chased by something. The same kind of urgency that I felt when I was being chased by that goat. As we run towards the loving arms of the Father, we run from sin as if it is a predator, something that seeks to do us harm, something that causes danger in our lives. We must run with urgency and fervency, just like we're being chased by something that will cause us damage. Because sin and temptation can hurt us. Sin is a predator. Sin is something that will tear us down as Christians. So rather than running towards something that will tear us down, we are to run towards something that will build us up. We are to run towards God, to pursue righteousness and godliness and so on, while turning our back to sin and running away from sin, trying to elude sin. We must run towards the safe arms of the Father if we are to ever fully achieve, or if we are to ever to make strides and gains towards the things that Paul has called Timothy to do here. So what exactly is it that he is told, though, to shun? Paul tells Timothy to shun all these things. Now, if we turn back in the Scripture, we find that Paul has been talking about various things throughout his epistles, especially this one to Timothy, where he talks about things such as false teachings and the love of money. Paul often will talk about idolatry and the way we need to avoid worshiping false gods. He often talks about not being angry and avoiding angriness and jealousy. And another thing that Paul often tells us to avoid is sexual imperfection and immorality. We're to avoid these sexual sins. So these are the things that Paul has taught us, that we are supposed to put behind us, that we are supposed to avoid, that we are supposed to shun, that we are supposed to run away from. Paul instructs us that anything that is not righteous, anything that is not godly, we are to run away from it. Just like we are a young boy running away from a goat. Or just like we are a slave boy running away from a woman. You see, we have this good example of what it means to flee from sin in Genesis when we read the story of Joseph. Remember, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And the slave traders took him down into Egypt where they sold him to a man by the name of Potiphar. Now, Potiphar and Joseph seemed to hit it off right away. And Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his household. And there was nothing in his house that was not accessible to Joseph, except for Potiphar's wife. Now, as we read through Genesis, we find that Joseph was a good-looking man. He was this Brad Pitt, Orlando Bloom, a young Sean Connery, all mixed up into one. He was a good-looking fella. And Potiphar's wife saw that he was a good-looking person, and she desired him in a sexual way. She wanted him to be with her. But Joseph knew that doing so would be a sin against God and a sin against Potiphar, and he wasn't about to do that. So he resisted temptation. But Potiphar's wife was not about to give up on this. She continued to tempt him, to try to bring him into her bed. And one day when they were alone, Potiphar's wife, and again, invited Joseph into her bed. And he tried to say no, and she grabbed a hold of his outer cloak, and he had to leave that outer cloak behind, and he ran from sin. He ran from temptation. He did all he could to get away from it, so that he could continue to pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Joseph ran from temptation. And we too must run from temptation and run from sin if we are to pursue these things that God has called us to do. And to run from temptation is hard for us today because we seem to be surrounded by so much of it. It's important for us as we try to pursue godliness and to pursue righteousness to not just be immersed in this sinful culture. But that's easier said than done. And things just got a whole lot harder here in the city of Standing for anybody that finds it difficult to stand up to the temptation of pornography. Because this week, as many of you probably have heard, we hear this news that this adult bookstore will be opening up here in town. An adult bookstore. Well, maybe we should really call it what it is. Because I don't think the name of adult bookstore is completely fitting. Really, maybe we should call it a socially and morally degrading facility. Maybe we should call it a family destroyer. Or an addiction advocate. Or even a breeding ground for debauchery and licentiousness. Because I think that any one of these names would more completely describe this place than what we would call an adult bookstore. It's so much more than that. But you know what? Maybe I'm being too hard on this place. Because if you think about it, it does bring small business to Stanton, doesn't it? Well, I guess so. And some people claim, well, this is freedom of speech. This is protected by the First Amendment. Well, you know what? I'm not buying that argument either. I'm not sure if any of you are. I don't think that our founding fathers had adult bookstores in mind when they made that First Amendment to the Constitution. I don't think that they had this in mind when they decided to call for freedom of speech. Something just doesn't seem to line up here. And if freedom of speech must come at the expense of our families, and our personal life, and our walk with Jesus Christ, and you know what? You can keep your freedom of speech. Because I don't want it. If that's what you call freedom of speech, I don't want anything to do with it. I would rather be bound by the Bible than to be free in my speech, if that's what you think freedom of speech is. Now, these people are bringing in something to this community that has the opportunity to tear people and families apart. And if you don't believe that pornography has that ability, I think that you're living with your head in the sand like an ostrich. Because it very much can. As we read through the Bible, especially Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he teaches us not to look upon someone with lust. Jesus says, if you look upon someone with lust, you have already committed adultery. Well, what are we doing when we have pornographic materials? We're looking at these people lustfully. And if you don't believe that this tears the family apart, ask a wife of somebody who has struggled with pornography for most of their life. Ask them if they do not feel as if they are being cheated upon by their spouse. I have seen families torn apart because somebody was looking at pornographic materials and they felt like they were being cheated upon by their spouse. Pornography tears families apart, and lust is the same as adultery. So what does it mean for us to flee from this sin of temptation? What are we as a community here at Stanton to do about what has gone on here in our community? Does this mean that we must leave Stanton to flee from this sin, to flee from this temptation? No. When Joseph was tempted, he fled from Potiphar's wife, but he did not leave Egypt altogether. But I bet you that if he was to continue to be a part of that community, that he wasn't going to go back to Potiphar's wife by himself and put himself in jeopardy of falling into temptation. He probably would have found himself some kind of support group, people that could have gone with him back into her home. We don't know for sure because he was put in prison, but I'm sure he would have planned ahead to not put himself in that same situation again. So as people of the community here at Stanton, we need to avoid situations that cause us to fall into temptation. And if you are somebody that finds yourself tempted by pornographic materials, first of all, stay out of that area where that bookstore is. Don't go near that place without other people that are with you that can hold you accountable. And if you find yourself being tempted by this or any other situation, find yourself support groups that you can go to seek help. I know that there are currently support groups rising up in Waynesboro, at Waynesboro Mennonite, for people that find themselves addicted to drugs and alcohol, pornography, gambling, or anything like that. Seek the camaraderie of other people as we seek to run away from these sins. Because running together is always easier than running alone. So we must seek to run away from this sin if we are to truly pursue God. We must seek support groups and find others that we can help as well. As a community, I believe it is our responsibility to educate people on the problems that exist with pornography and the way that it can tear families apart. We need to attack the belief that this is acceptable, that this is okay, while not attacking those who fall victim to it. Those who do fall victim to pornography, we must walk with them, educate them, and lead them in the path of righteousness. Show them that Jesus Christ has taught that this is not appropriate. And show them the ways that this does tear apart families. It does tear apart home life. And it can ruin lives. And if we are at all tempted by these things, we must remember that sin will continue to chase us. Sin will continue to chase us just like that Billy Goat chased me. If we find ourselves tempted, it doesn't mean that we just need to not go into the places where sin exists. Because sin will come after us. It's a good step, you know, let's go back to my billy goat example. The first step to avoid being chased by a billy goat is to stay out of his barn. But you know what? That goat can find you. He can chase after you. And he can literally just knock you down, change your life, and ruin things. We need to be aware that sin will chase us probably through all of our life. We need to be aware of that and be ready to run. Now, Paul tells Timothy that he needs to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. How do we begin to do that? How do we begin to pursue righteousness and godliness? What is the first step that we must take? Well, the first thing we must do is we must know who it is that we are pursuing. The first step for us is to know God. To know the God that is revealed to us through the Bible. To know the God that is revealed to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And to know the God that is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit that lives within us and among us. When I was running from that billy goat, I knew exactly who it was that I was running to find comfort and safety. I was running to my Father. Now, if I didn't know Him, I probably would have just run any which way to try to get away. But I knew exactly where I was going because I knew my Father. If we know God, we know who it is we are pursuing. We know God, the God who will save us, the God who will provide comfort for us, the God that will provide care for us in our times of weakness. And to know the God that we are pursuing, we must spend time every day reading His holy word, which is found here in the Bible. And we must spend time every day in prayer as well. To know this God who reveals Himself to us through Scripture, we must read Scripture. So this is our job, this is our goal. If we are to know the God that we are pursuing, we must learn to know Him through His holy word and through prayer. Now, I have this friend that I attended seminary with a couple years ago. And he knew what it was like to pursue God in his life. He made the decision at one time back in the mid-1990s to attend seminary so that he might be a pastor one day or to be some other kind of a leader in the church. So he was dedicated at first when he started school. He knew what he wanted. He had clear and defined goals. But as he spent late nights reading books and studying and trying to learn what he thought was important, he found himself suffering in his prayer life and in his scripture study. And he found himself drifting away from God. And we'll call this guy Mark. It's not his real name, but we'll use that pseudonym to keep his anonymity. Well, Mark was studying all these times, these late hours, he found himself tempted. As he sat behind his computer keyboard, he found himself looking at pornography on the internet. It's very common. And he didn't think it was a problem at first. He just kind of would look every now and then. It wasn't a big deal. But soon, as he continued to put off his prayer life and to put aside his study of the scriptures, he started visiting these websites more and more often. And he found himself addicted to pornography. His grades suffered. His marital life suffered. His life with his children suffered. His life with God suffered. He had lost this vision of pursuing God that he had, and sin had caught up with him. He was no longer running from sin. but had turned around 180 degrees and began running towards them. Well, he eventually got caught by his wife. He got caught, and it hurt her, and it hurt him. It hurt their relationship. He withdrew from seminary courses and had to rethink about his life. But thankfully, his wife was very forgiving and understanding, and they sought reconciliation together. They sought counseling, and they both became a part of a group, a support group. And over a period of about 8 years, Mark decided that it was time for him to return to seminary studies. He began once again pursuing God with the urgency and the fervency that was needed. And in doing so, he was able to run away from this sin and conquer it. Mark today is a missionary overseas. He serves the Lord with his own life in every way possible that he can. But this part of his past is still very much with him. Mark would not claim that he has defeated sin completely. He would not say that he is never tempted. Because he knows that if he ever stops pursuing God, that this sin will catch up with him. And he knows that he cannot turn his back to God and face sin once again. He continues to be chased, he continues to be tempted, but he continues to run away and to run towards God. So in conclusion this morning, I would like to remind you all that we all must flee from sin and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And things like this, the pursuit of godliness and righteousness, just got a little more difficult for us here in Stanton because of this adult bookstore. But we can continue to pursue God, and we can continue to flee from sin. May we walk with each other, may we run with each other as we do so. And may we not turn our back on those who are tempted and fall victim to sin. But may we offer them our hand. May we offer to run beside them. May they learn to run from sin and pursue God as well. May they learn to be like that little boy that ran from that billy goat. That they must run with fervor and urgency and run to the arms of the Father. Because it is in the Father's arms alone that we can truly find peace. Will you please join me in prayer? God, may we run towards you while we run away from sin. Lord, for those that this sin does not affect, I am grateful. For those who find themselves falling victim to the temptations of pornography, Lord, we just pray that you be with them and give them healing and give them guidance. And give them help, Lord, as they seek to run from this sin. For we all have sins, Lord. We all must run from them. Help us, Lord, to run together. Help us, Lord, to run into your loving arms. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.